want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast today. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we're going to spend the next half hour with you here. Want to tell you that tomorrow night we will not be having service at Merritt Assembly of God. We take this Wednesday off every year while kids are being transported to and from camp, and so wanted to give you a heads up on that. But I will be preaching this weekend, and looking forward to sharing what God has in store for us on that day. So if you ever want to know what's going on, you can check us out at merrittassembly.com, 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 all one word. Or you can check us out on Facebook. You can like us, and there you have access to some videos and things like that. There's videos of when I preach and videos. My daughter's posted a few videos of when she was preaching. And it's always encouraging for a dad to get other people commenting and saying, you know, she's a really good speaker. She's a really good speaker. And so I thank God for my children and how blessed they are and the doors that God has opened for them. I pray that they accomplish more for the kingdom than what I have accomplished. And, you know, like I say, I want to set that bar high, not low. You know, my kids have been very encouraging of late, and, recognize sometimes, you know, if you just surround yourself with one thing, you sometimes perceive things differently than when you go out and you see a different perspective. And so last week, some of my kids came and they shared with me, and they were telling me how thankful that they were, not only that I was their dad, but I was their pastor. And that was a very encouraging thing. Do be careful outside in this span of heat that we are having. It promises to stick around for a while. One of the things that a board member told me last week was be sure and make sure that your tires are not inflated to maximum pressure, because things expand when they get hot, they contract when they get cold. And if you're driving down the road at 70 miles an hour, you're going to be building up heat in that process as well. And with the heat already in the atmosphere, a person said that while they were traveling the highway, they saw like half a dozen vehicles with flat tires. And so you might want to check your air pressures a little bit and make sure that you have room for expansion, especially if you're going on a long trip. And so I try and help you out and share a few helpful hints as we go along, because I don't want the devourer having any access to your life. I don't want him having access into my life, your life, or anybody's life. I want him to be as isolated as he can possibly be. So today we're going to be looking at this concept one more time. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, there is the delivery from, you know, and God is the deliverer. We spent some time talking about that out of Romans chapter 7. There is also the delivery to. We talked about that on yesterday's broadcast, that he has delivered us to a new law, the law of the Spirit of life, and the law of righteousness, the law of faith. Those are tremendous things to be delivered to. And with that being said, there are some other things where God will deliver them to us to assist us in what we have been called to do. So today I want to take you to Matthew chapter 25. I shared this message at church a few weeks ago, and so I want to read verses 14. Well, let's start reading in verse number 13, and we'll go on down to verse number 30. Verse number 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those accounts came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents and saying, Lord, you have delivered me to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I could have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here it says in verse number 14 that this is a parable that indicates the nature of the kingdom of heaven. You do need to understand that there is a difference in the nature of the kingdom of heaven and the way things that operate here on earth. There, it is a completely different kingdom. In earthly kingdoms, things work from the bottom on their way up to the top. But in God's kingdom, the things of the kingdom flow from the throne down to the people, where the king is never out in the harvest field in an earthly kingdom. He is never working to produce anything that is going to be a benefit to the people. They instead are supporting him. In the kingdom of God, God is the self-sufficient one. He is the all-sufficient one. He is the God who is more than enough. And he is a God. I said this in a message a little over a week ago. God, by his very nature, is a giver. He delivers to his children the things that are his. And so it describes this man in a relationship of understanding the nature of God. And it said, this man called his own servants, his own servants. You and I, we need to understand that if we are going to be entrusted with the riches of heaven, those riches are entrusted to us for the purpose of service, of serving the king, of serving the kingdom, of serving our family, of serving our community, of serving our church. Those are things that are vitally important. And so we can't expect, you know, that Well, God, I want this. Well, why do you want this? If you haven't done anything with the things that God has already entrusted to you, why do you need more entrusted to you? I'm reminded of a joke that I heard years ago, and it's not staged in reality. It's just a joke. And there was a person that was driving their car. They drove down their neighborhood street, and there was a neighborhood dog that roamed freely. And every day as the driver was driving down the road, this dog would bark at the top of its lungs and chase the car, and would do that every day from one side of the property to the other side of the property, just barking and chomping at the bit and chasing and snapping at the tires all every day. And finally, one day, the driver of the car, as he was driving by and the dog was giving chase and the dog was barking and the dog was snapping its teeth at the teeth, finally the driver said, "You know what?" And he hit the brakes. And when he did, the dog finally got what he had always been wanting. He made contact with the car because it had come to a screeching stop. And the dog was kind of dazed and confused. Again, this is a fictitious story. It's not a real story. The owner of the car gets out and he goes to the dog, who is laying there on the ground, slightly stunned. And he said, "Well, now you've got it. What are you going to do with it?" This dog had pursued this car all of this time, and the owner gets out and says, "What are you going to do with it now that you've got it? You know, what are you going to do with the latest gadget? What are you going to do? At Christmas time, you will see ugly sweaters and sweatshirts and say, 'Santa, I want it all.' Well, what are you going to do with it when you get it?" You see, in the kingdom of God, God delivers things to people who are serving him, who are serving with him, who are serving for the glory of God. And he has no problem endowing us and delivering to us the things that we need to serve with great efficiency and effectiveness in the kingdom of God. So in verse number 14, it says, who called his own servants. If we are not going to serve God, then what do we need to have him deliver stuff to us for? Okay. But if we are serving him, I want you to see this. And he delivered his goods to them. He delivered his goods to them. We need to remember that we are simply stewards of God's resources. They are not our resources. We are steward of God's resources. We need to take care of them. We do not need to be frivolous with them. We do not need to be careless with them or reckless. We need to recognize that not only have these things been entrusted to us, but there's a day of accountability that is coming to them. I want you to see, though, there's one more thing here. And it said, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Before there was ever a delivery of the master's resources, there was the delivery of a relationship with the master. It wasn't just a person who had 3 employees. This was a master who knew each of these 3 employees. He had built a relationship with them. Some had probably been with him longer than others. Some had learned the lessons well. Some had not. You see, not only did he deliver relationship where he recognized the giftings and the nature of each individual that he was doing this business with, he recognized what they were capable of. God knows what you are capable of. Did you know that in Jude, I'll turn here in just a second. and tell you what the verse reference is. But in Jude, verse number 3, it says this: "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning the common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Okay, you are God's plan. You are this person here that is described in Matthew chapter 25. God has given to each person the measure of faith. If you want to describe that basic foundational endowment of God's resources, it's faith. What are you going to do with it? You see, some people will employ it. Some people will sit on it. Some people will be so afraid to lose it that they will never utilize it whatsoever. If you're not going to use it, it will atrophy. It will die. And you and I need to realize that these resources that are entrusted to us are not only entrusted to us for ourselves or for our benefit, but there are other people that are counting on these resources. There are people lost in their sins that are dependent upon the believers, the body of Christ, growing in their faith and understanding that God has provided. Who is God? You know, there's a person who wrote a book. I think his name is Judah Smith. I've never read the book. But he just put out there a survey and says, "Who is Jesus?" And he wrote a book after all these people sent in their responses. And he began, I believe the point was to address all of these misconceptions about who Jesus actually is. Okay, so we talked on yesterday's program about this war that is going on. At least I think it was yesterday's program. It might have been last Friday's. But we talk about this war that is going on between the flesh and the spirit, the flesh and our mind that is going on. And the concept there is that there is an intense battle that is meant for the destruction of everything godly in your life. You've got to contend for the faith. You've got to contend for it. So last week there was a change in our the dynamic of the morning routine around our home. And as a result of the change in dynamic, I made a change in my time schedule. I said, you know what? I'm going to get up earlier, not just so that I could go into the office, but so that I could contend for the faith. I could hit the prayer closet earlier in the day. I could waken my ear up to hear a word from heaven that I could disclose to those who We're listening here on the radio program, so that I could pray for the people in our congregation, that their faith would be built up. You see, the Bible describes that you and I are supposed to go from faith to faith. You're not supposed to get weaker in your faith. Your faith is not supposed to atrophy. It's not supposed to wither. It's not supposed to be ineffective. It is supposed to be an active, powerful, growing, maturing faith. And God says, I have such confidence in the body of Christ that I am going to make this, I'm going to deliver this faith once and for all to the saints. God believes in his ability to utilize you and to utilize me for the glory of God. I want to make sure that I word that appropriately. If I could put it this way, God believes that God working in you is going to be able to use that faith to reach this world with the love of Jesus Christ. Okay. It really is God working inside of us. We'll talk about Moses at a little bit later time, but I will tell you this. Moses, when he was living in Egypt, was a ruler in Egypt, and he had been raised in Pharaoh's extended household. That he identified with the Hebrews. He had been nursed by his own mother, Jochebed, and I'm sure that she had imparted the stories of God and the history of the Jewish people and how they ended up being in bondage in Egypt to where now Egypt wanted them destroyed. And so he's one day walking through and he sees an Egyptian that is assaulting and abusing a Hebrew slave. And Moses thought, and I can give you all of this stuff later, he thought that the deliverance that he knew that he was supposed to be the deliverer. And so he took matters into his own hands. He killed the Egyptian, and he thought that the people of the Hebrew people would recognize that God was wanting to deliver them through his hand. But instead, they rejected that. And then Moses found out, hey, Pharaoh's not happy with what you did yesterday. And so he fled to Midian. And he was in Midian for 40 years. And then he had an encounter with God. And you know what God told him? He said, I'm going to send you back to Egypt to deliver the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt, for their cry has come up to me. And Moses said, yeah, you know what? I tried that plan and it didn't work. I tried doing it that way, and it was a miserable failure. I ended up out here, you know, using all of that education and all of that training and all of that belief that people had in me that I was going to be used by God for a great purpose. And now here I am out in the wilderness, an old man at 80 years old, and I'm not delivering anything except for sheep to market. And God said this, no, I'm going to send you back, and I'm going to deliver them through your hand. Through your hand. What we see in Matthew chapter 25 is a divine partnership. God is wanting to entrust us with the riches of his kingdom because he intends to deliver people from their sin. A politician is never going to be able to accomplish spiritual goals. They can help. There are politicians who try and stand in opposition to spiritual goals. We live in a very hostile environment spiritually right now. I mean, and folks, I just tell you this. Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. And with all of the hostility that is going and the polarization that is taking place in our society, we as the body of Christ need to be recognizing we're in a battle for faith. We're in a battle for faith. And we don't need mansy-pansy faith. We don't need, you know, that wishy-washy, double-minded faith. What we need is rock-solid faith that can stand in good times, that can stand in challenging times. We need to realize that God has entrusted this faith to us because he recognizes that he has developed certain abilities in you and I that he knows that he is setting us up to succeed. Okay? My philosophy in life is to set people up to succeed. That's what I live for. I recognize that every person, you know, is valuable to God. You are priceless to God. You can't put a price tag on it. If you did, it would say the life of Jesus. You are important to God. You were so important that he knew you in your mother's womb, protected you in your mother's womb, delivered you from your mother's womb so that you could experience this adventure called life and be effective for God. God says, I know everything there is about you. And he wants to entrust the riches of heaven to us so that we can do life together with him. You might be listening right now and you tried to do it by yourself the way that Moses did, and you failed. Don't give up on faith. Don't give up on faith. Instead, let's develop a rock solid faith. So last week I was, I had something that happened, and I'm a big proclaimer of healing and wholeness and soundness. And what I found last week was a great big wound that had been there for years, and all of a sudden, even though I thought it was healed, I found the scab ripped off and the wound exposed again. And it was like, okay, let's start the healing process all over again. Let's not continue to perpetuate victimhood. Let's pray for healing and recognize that we are blessed to be a blessing. Today, if you are listening, I want you to understand that God sees potential in you that others may not see, but their opinion doesn't count. Potential is one of those things that I look at when I am assessing a property, a car, something like that, anything. I look for potential. I don't look for the finished product. I want to look at it and say, what can this look like? And God looks at us and he says, you know what? I see a faithfulness in you that I can endow you and trust to you and deliver to you my resources, because I know that you're going to take care of them just the same way that I would. That's how I operated in management and retail. I managed that store as if that was my money. That was my inventory. And I said, I'm going to take good care of that. Do it. You'll find God blesses you. We'll see you next time right
here on Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. To